don't know if I told you guys, but I was actually, honestly, to be a little unbiased, I was really hoping that the Pacers were going to win that game.
Where's your journalistic integrity, Joey?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah. So,
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry Rice with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your Pacers podcast and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is April 15th, 2017. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're discussing just one thing, Game 1 against the Cavaliers. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Two quick shout-outs. First, shout-out to my friend Mike Anarino, who just had a birthday. It was a nice palate cleanser after the Pacers lost to go out and celebrate his birthday. And second shout-out to my sister, Erin Triplett, for A, winning the Debeatables League championship, and B, just being an awesome person.
Shout-out. I'll second that shout-out. From Eugene, Oregon, out west, he's our enforcer, John Harper.
What's up, fellas? Not shouting out anything.
Okay. Seems fair enough.
I'm out of after shout the
outs. After the events that transpired today, Pacers lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers 108-109, coming up just short. CJ Miles takes the shot at the end of the game, hits the front rim. And Cavs escape. You know, the Pacers have really put a big push on at the end of the game. You know, I thought the Pacers, you know, they never fell too far behind. They were playing, but they were playing from behind almost the entire game. Never let it get out of control. I think they were maybe down by 12 at some point, but made a big push back in the fourth quarter and almost pulled this out. But what did you guys think about the last play? Paul George gets double-teamed, passes to CJ, there's kind of a little screen, and CJ puts up a shot. Should this have ended differently?
Yes, it should have ended differently. So I don't think you can talk about the last play by itself without talking about the plays that led up to it. So the Pacers force a missed shot, get a rebound, and then call their last timeout to get a to set things up, you know, with 20 seconds left. I would have preferred that they just let the clock run and put the ball in Paul George's hands. That way you don't let the defense figure out what they want to do, or knowing that the Cavs had a foul to give, you don't give them a chance to organize themselves in that situation either. Or if they make that foul, they give you a chance to call a timeout and see what they've done and adjust to that. So basically what happened was the Pacers put the ball in Paul George's hands and Cleveland said, screw it, we're sending two defenders at you and getting the ball out of his hands, forcing him to pass it. CJ got a decent look, made a nice ball fake and got a good look, but missed it. But you really want Paul George to take that shot, and you know, it's tough in late game situations, but well coached teams get a good look in those situations. So that's the disappointing thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George rightfully gave up the ball to CJ when he got a second defender on him above the three-point line. But CJ did have a chance to pass it back to him and didn't do it. I mean, you're right. The real problem there is if you're doing this out of a timeout, you need to have a play that anticipates that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it can be a shock to anyone that the Cavs aggressively double-teamed Paul George.
Exactly.
High on the court, right? I mean, that just can't come as a surprise. So you got to have some kind of action. I mean, Lance was effectively standing underneath the bucket by himself, right? So we needed to have some action to take advantage of that double team and get the ball for an easy shot. Preferably not, you know. It was a decent look from CJ, not maybe perfectly on balance, but it was a decent look. He missed the shot. Mm-hmm. But you either want to get something going to the rim, or failing that, you want to trust your superstar to make something happen.
Yeah, I've never been of the mind that it has to be the superstar taking the shot. You know, I think CJ's a veteran. I thought, thought he had a good look, so I'm not mad at the shot. After the game, you know, PG said he had talked to CJ Miles and basically said, like, you got to give me the ball back. It's got to be that way.
So let's talk about that for a sec. Before we dive into the rest of the game, do you think that PG was throwing his team under the bus with those statements? He went on to say that he was the only guy on the team that was pissed off at their performance, that he felt that there was no fight in this team. Do you think that this is him pulling a Phil Jackson and masterfully using the media to communicate to his teammates, or is this poor leadership on the part of Paul George? Harper, have you processed it enough to know what's going on?
I mean, ultimately time is the judge of that. I am in no way opposed to it. You know, I mean, I think that it's fine to call it your team and, you know, it's the playoffs, you know. You don't need, you know, to just be patting everybody on the ass right now. You got to light a fire. You got to get guys excited. And you got to go out and you got to make a statement and win game two. So I'm certainly fine with him being pissed off. And to the extent that anybody in our locker room doesn't get why he's pissed off, then that sort of reinforces that it needed to be said to some extent.
Sure,
right? So
sure.
I'm fine with the comments. I agree that the ball should be in his hands. Again, though, my problem is that I feel like as a coaching staff, that's a failure. If you call a timeout, set up a play, and none of the things that you drew up then happen, you lost, right? That's a loss. Yep. And that's the way it's going to show in the box score.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that I think that by and large, this team – while it was a one-point game at the end and we had a chance to win, we had no business being in this game, right? The Pacers played, I thought, atrociously defensively the entire game. You allowed the Cavaliers to shoot 53%, 54% basically on the game, 40% from the range.
66 first half points, 58% in the first half. We only forced 11 turnovers out of them. I'm with you. We didn't play great defense. That was not one of the things that we did today.
Exactly, right? So I think that Paul George is right in saying that there are no moral victories. In the regular season, we say that all the time. There's definitely not in the postseason. And from his comments, it seemed like the guys were like happy. It's like, oh, we competed with these guys. They're the champs. It's the playoffs. We competed, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, we didn't play that great of basketball, you know. We certainly did on the offensive end, you know. The disappointing thing about this game is that you go on the road, you shoot almost 50% from the floor, you shoot 45% from the range, you actually out-rebound a team when you're a really bad rebounding team, and you can't come away with a win. How are you ever going to play? You know, how are you going to get a win, you know, in game two? That's the disappointing thing to me.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, not only that, but we only turned the ball over 13 times. They only shot 52% from the stripe. We shot 85, 46% from three-point land. Plus the out-rebounding them, I mean, there's no way you can lose that game. I mean, forget for a second how important it is to capitalize on an opportunity. to beat the defending champs in game one. For, if you put that aside, if you just look at the metrics of the thing, you got to say, look, we hit every benchmark and we still lost. So that, I mean, at the end of the day, that comes down to being on the ground and getting those loose balls and better effort on defense. But we certainly did a lot of things right today. I mean, I get that.
Sure. Defensively, can we talk about the defense for a second? Because this was clearly a problem. Cleveland, you know, we talked about this in our preview of this playoff series. It has a check mark basically at every position, right? Not only that, but they, Tyronn Lue put them in good positions to create even more ridiculous matchup advantages by doing pick and rolls involving Jeff Teague and getting situations where Jeff Teague is guarding either LeBron James or Kevin Love, and it's just automatic points basically at that point. Nate McMillan did not adjust his strategy the entire game. Is that something that and it somehow worked in the second half? You know, the second half we allow 17 points in the fourth quarter, and what is that, 41 points overall in the second half. So it worked somehow. It didn't seem like it was working though, and this doesn't seem like a viable strategy going forward. Is there a way that we can compensate for that, or I guess another way of asking that is, how do you hide Jeff Teague on the defensive end?
Well, I think the best way to do that is to keep him on somebody who's not LeBron James. He cannot, he's got to guard one of their guards. And they can't switch on those.
Right.
Because they just, once they get that matchup, they isolate and just blow right by him. He just, he has to foul him. There's nothing he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 6'8", 250-pound mammoth.
Like, he's like 280.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. Sure. He's big for a tight end in football. The guy's a giant athletic human. It's ridiculous. I mean, I agree. I mean, we only gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter, but it was just me, or did that feel like a lot of luck? They missed a bunch of chippies and layups. Yep. And,
sure.
For sure.
You know, I'm with you, Jason. It felt kind of lucky there in the fourth. For me, I don't understand the strategy of switching out on the pick and roll at the three-point line. Yeah. I mean, if LeBron wants to shoot threes because guys are going under screens, isn't that a win for us?
Seems like it. Seems like that's the shot we want him to be forced to make.
I mean, I'm not saying he can't hit it, but he can hit everything. Sure. He's LeBron James.
But I would take that over him... isolation on Jeff Teague.
Like, ISO every post time. On Jeff Teague.
Sure.
With no double coming, no matter how many times. I mean, seriously, we let him pound the ball 5 times and no double team was coming to help Jeff Teague. I mean, that is as close as it gets in this league to automatic.
And this is a coaching thing, right? Like, clearly this is just guys following instructions of what the coach told them to do in the huddle. And so we'll see. Let's give a little bit of leeway. You know, playoffs are a chess match. Maybe you want to see how this plays out. There's got to be a shift in defensive strategy between game one and game two, I would think. The other thing is, it's apparent that at least in this series, it's going to be very difficult to play Jeff Teague and Monte Ellis on the floor at the same time. You know, we've talked about it all year that's a huge defensive liability. Mm-hmm. In the regular season, maybe you can get away with it a little bit more. In the playoffs, like, every possession, they're going to exploit whatever matchup they can get. Yeah. You know, so hopefully, I mean, getting GR3 back will help, I think.
A lot, I think.
Playing Lance Stephenson more minutes, I think, will help. But outside of that, I don't know what it's kind of. Still, we're at a disadvantage. I think they're just offensively, they're so good. We got to figure out a way to get stops, I think. And I don't know. I'm not smart enough about basketball to know how to do that, right?
Well, but I mean, I think that there's some relatively simple things that, you know, even us amateur basketball minds can figure out, which is, you know, you don't want to be switching on the pick and roll above the 3-point line because you'd rather have LeBron taking that shot. I think you have to be aware that you're just going to have to show a guy who plays at a level like LeBron James different looks. Now, is he going to sniff it out 90% of the time? Of course he will. He's better. LeBron is a matchup coach, right? And he's trying to create that mismatch every time up and down the floor, right? And he does a phenomenal job. He's not the greatest player just because he sees the court so well. He understands the game within the game, and he knows how to create – he knows how to turn our defense against us, right? So we've got to keep tuning it and changing it even within the game to try and keep him on his toes. I mean, we're not going to win all the time, but we've got to improve our chances by showing him something different. If we got to play some zone, you know, if we got to – you know, we got to be showing the double team sometimes. I mean, we got to give him a little bit of everything.
I want to give a quick shout out to Lance Stephenson. I thought he played really well this game.
He made
8-13, 16 points. What was Van Gundy was calling him? Lance Romance?
Lance Romance.
I thought he had a great game off the bench. And
I thought he did too. I thought he took the lanciest Lance shot in the Lance history of lanciness. Down the stretch there when Cleveland was like, please take a 3-pointer. And he was like, oh yeah, I'll take this 3-pointer. It was interesting
did
on the broadcast.
That?
He did not make that. He missed by a mile. It was interesting on the broadcast. They were having a debate and Van Gundy was basically saying like, that's the stupidest shot I've ever seen. That's what they want you to take. That's what they're asking you to do. And Mark Jackson was like, if they're going to leave you open, you got to be, you know, confident enough to take that shot. It's like, yeah, no, I don't think so, man.
Yeah. I could feel him trying to back off a little bit. He's like, well, you know, if you work on that really hard and put the time in, you should be able to do that. Yeah.
Sure.
If you're a, you know, 15% 3-point shooter, maybe don't take that shot in the playoffs.
He's been better this year.
Regardless, I agree with you, Joey. I thought he did do good things. He, especially in the second half, was a spark, brought some energy on both ends of the floor.
Absolutely.
The other thing that needs to happen, I think, defensively, you know, scheme can go so far, but the thing that, especially as an underdog, that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to outwork the other team. And I really felt like Cleveland got every loose ball in this game. They were more aggressive going to the floor, doing the small things. And that's, if you're, you know, a 7 versus a 2, you got to be out scrapping that team, right? So I need to see more of that in game 2. Otherwise, this series might be over real quick.
Yeah. Do you guys think we start? I mean, what do you guys think about this? I mean, let's say we don't get JR3 back. Do you start Lance at 2 next game? Is it time to start Lance?
I think you got to think about that, or starting CJ Miles, who was pretty underutilized, I thought, in this game.
He's a guy that you need to draw plays for.
And you kind of got to get him going early. You know, you got to get him in a groove. So,
yes. He's a jump shooter.
And that lineup earlier in the year was really good. I mean, with CJ Miles in the starting lineup, was very, very effective. You know, that being said, Monte Ellis played well in this game. Better than he has in the previous, you know, say 5 or 6 games. I don't know what he ended up with, but yeah, he scored 11. You know, was one of the few guys that was attacking the basket. But he's just such a defensive liability, especially when Jeff Teague is on the floor with him. I think just getting more size out there would help. So
yeah,
I would start CJ personally, but
yeah. I think we got to consider. I mean, I would love to see Lance out there at 1 too.
Sure.
I wouldn't mind seeing a few minutes out there with him at 1 in the starting unit. Him, CJ, and you know, Paul Thaddeus, Miles. We're gonna have to throw these guys some curveballs. We're gonna have to get some lineups out there. You know, maybe not necessarily start the game, but we're gonna have to show them things that they don't have film on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And most things with Lance, there's not film on.
Yes, exactly.
He's the new guy. I think from the Cleveland side, LeBron had a great game, 32 32 points, 6 boards, 13 assists, which was, you know, he was passing the ball really well.
Yeah. Just like 3 turnovers. Assists in the first quarter, didn't he?
Yeah, he was killed it on that with that. Kevin Love, a pretty good game from him, 17 points, 23 from Kyrie. J.R. Smith was a little quiet this game, just 6 points, didn't shoot too much. Tristan Thompson, not surprisingly, does his work on the boards. 13 rebounds, 6 offensive ones, which I swear every time I looked up, you know, it was Tristan grabbing their boards and keeping those possessions alive. And there were a couple where he, you know, kept it alive and kicked it back out for a 3-pointer, you know, which is just super frustrating.
Yeah, there was definitely a stretch there where you felt like it was like, come on, let's just get a stop. We just need a stop. And you would make them – they would miss a shot, and then they would get the offensive rebound. You'd be like, God bless America.
Mm-hmm. The most frustrating one for me was – you know, I know I'm getting that out of LeBron James. You know, you're getting out of Kyrie. Tristan, no surprise. But Channing Frye was killing me with those 3-pointers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's bombing. Mm-hmm.
3 of 4 from the game.
So let's.
It was Darren Williams that was killing me.
Sure.
Yeah. That guy should not be allowed to hit shots against us.
Richard Jefferson, also.
Yeah.
Should not be allowed to hit shots. So let's finish this podcast on a up note, because we got another game on Monday, and we want to stay positive. So here's the thing: I wasn't convinced that Cleveland is a really well oiled machine. I felt like they showed a lot of vulnerability. I didn't think the Pacers played particularly well, and we were with them the entire game and really threatened them down the stretch and had a chance to win this game.
We could have easily scored 110.
Right. Total. I think this is a team that is a little bit shaky, and we can, you know, when you're an underdog, what you want to do is try to take one of the first 2 games on the road, and that still is possible here. Mm-hmm. So
I'm with you there. I also want to shout out Thad Young. He's so quiet out there, but man, he's always got such great energy. It's easy to lose him because he's not out there yelling at guys. But man, just a really great effort. You know, Miles is not as physical as you want him to be sometimes, but you know, Thaddeus tries to pick up that slack where he can, even though he's a little undersized to be doing the job. But you know, he's a bulldog. He's going to go in there and pick a fight and, you know, with the intention to finish it. So, it really, even though, you know, the stat line maybe doesn't jump out at you, I thought he played a really solid game for us.
Agreed.
Yeah. He spent a lot of time guarding LeBron, and, you know, if you end up doing that.
Tough draw.
For sure. But it affects you on the other end, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're tired when you get on the offensive side. So, you know, one thing that was unfortunate was not able to take that win, but not able to take the win after Cleveland shot so poorly from the free throw line. The Pacers' free throw defense was – they brought that to the playoff level.
Yeah, that traveled.
Playoff defense does – free throw defense travels, right? So, yeah, I was only shot like 52% from the line. Man, yeah. So close.
So here's the thing. So
I think you're right.
Now's the time where Larry Bird's haphazard decision to offer the job to Nate McMillan after he bumped into him in the hallway in the offseason. This is where it all pays off. Is can McMillan make the adjustments necessary to position this team to win game 2?
I'm thinking this was like a literal bump in the hallway, and Nate McMillan had a manila folder with his resume in it, saying, you know, NBA coach. And Larry said, I had no idea.
I mean, I think, you know, this is a heartening effort for us. You know, obviously this was a missed opportunity, and it's, you know, you look back in history at the great upsets of all time, you don't see a lot of, you know, they could have won another game too, and they let it slip through their fingers. You kind of got to maximize these opportunities. But with how bad a road team we've been this year, this is a pretty damn heartening effort. We know we can't play with these guys. There's no reason we can't get our split on the road, keep building confidence. So, you know, as long as we can protect our home court, this could be a very competitive series.
Sure. Yeah, you win one, and you're back in business.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can do it.
I know, by the way, we haven't mentioned his name, but Paul George is really, 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 really good at basketball.
Have we not mentioned his name? That was silly of us.
That three-pointer, the second-to-last possession they had. Boy, we were yelling and screaming.
And just, I mean, 29 points on 19 shots, too. When you're the shot taker and you're the total focal point of the defense, to still have that kind of efficiency is that, that's baller status. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just is an exceptional game for him. I know he loves playing against LeBron and his show tonight. Just a really great competitive effort for him. That's why he's a star.
God, he's so good at basketball.
Stats-wise, he basically plays LeBron to a draw. You know, not quite, but he's right there. I love watching these two guys go back and forth. I was hoping they were going to be mashed up against each other the whole game, but they didn't do much of that. But it's a series, you know, not just one game. All right, guys, let's get out of here. Anything else? Shout out before we move on for this game.
Nope. Go Pacers. Game two.
That's right.
Monday night. Is that right? Monday?
Yep.
Yep.
Monday night. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. If you want to get in touch with us there, we're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us on iTunes. That really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale.
And for once and always, coach, now in the Hall of Fame, Bobby Slick Leonard, don't turn out the lights. The party is not over. It's just beginning. As my good friend Nick Fesco used to say, the night is but a fetus.
Yes. Yes.